Good morning. It's a special joy for our family to come and meet with you this morning. This is our home church, and you are the ones that have sent us to the field, to Senegal. And so it's our joy to be able to share with you what the Lord has been doing in and through our lives in the country of Senegal. Now we're going to do a kind of a multifaceted presentation. Our children are going to illustrate by a skit some of the cultural aspects of Senegal. And then I will bring a message from the text that was just read. And then we're going to conclude our time with a mime that illustrates who are the participants in missions. I encourage you to stay for the Sunday school hour. We have a video presentation we'll be showing, as well as I'll be sharing with you about some of the relationships I've built with the Senegalese. And so I encourage you to come and stay for the Sunday school. So I'm going to now invite the children to come, and they are going to share the skit with you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your roving reporter, Faith Bisbee, here in Senegal, West Africa. Today, I will be interviewing a Senegalese couple. Good morning, Madame and Monsieur Jove. Thank you for allowing me to interview you today.
Our hearts are very cold. Thank you.
Does that mean you are angry?
No. In Senegal, when we say our hearts are cold, it means we are happy.
I see this is early for you. You still have your pajamas on.
These are not pajamas. I'm wearing a kaftan and my wife is wearing a daket. These are the clothes that we wear in Senegal.
Are you cold then? What is this blanket?
This is a prayer rug, so if I can't get to the mosque on time, I pray where I am.
Is the mosque far away?
No, there is one on every corner.
Let's change the subject a little. Madame, are we keeping you from your work?
No, the other two wives and housemates can manage today without me.
How do you feel about your husband having other wives?
We're Muslims. He has money, so he should have many wives. Besides, a woman needs to marry a Muslim in order to get to heaven.
Well, that is interesting.
Yes, that's our religion.
Do you go to the mosque to pray too?
No, I'll do that when I'm old. Only the old women are allowed in the back of the mosque to pray.
Oh, what a beautiful baby.
No, this baby's ugly. You should be careful not to praise the baby for her beauty, or you'll call a curse on her.
Oh, I'm sorry. Monsieur, what do you do for work?
I am a lawyer doing research for the president.
Sounds like it might be stressful. What do you do to relax?
I go outside and play Scrabble with my friends.
Oh, the board game Scrabble in English?
No, in French. I also like to talk about politics and religion.
Oh, madame, what are these strings around the baby for?
The one around the baby's neck is for her health. No, it's for her teeth to grow in. The one around her waist is for her health, and the one around her arm is to keep the demons away.
Oh, I see. Well, that's all the time we have right now. Thank you, Madame and Monsieur Job. It's been quite an interesting talk.
Now you know a little bit more about the culture of Senegal. I'm going to share with you what is the biblical basis for our approach to ministry, and it's from that same passage that Peter read for you in Luke chapter 10. So I encourage you to turn back there, Luke chapter 10, and let's begin at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." Well, the first point we see from this passage is that when the Lord sees a need to be met, he uses people to meet it. Now, he spoke to these disciples because he was sending them to the towns and places where Jesus was preparing to go. And he gave them this instruction. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask or pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, isn't it interesting that the very ones the Lord told to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers were the ones that were sent? So when you start praying for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field, be aware you may be the answer to your own prayers. Now, this pattern of sending out messengers to prepare the way of the Lord is something we see throughout Scripture. And I'd like to look at some of the other messengers that were sent to prepare the way of the Lord. The first was Adam. Now we know it's through Adam that sin entered the world. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And so death passed to all men, for all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's through Adam we realize that we need a Savior. Now we thank the Lord. Scripture goes on to say that as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ will all be made alive. Well, another messenger was Noah. Now God told Noah he was going to judge the world for its sin, and he was going to send a flood. But he told Noah how he could save himself and his family by building an ark. And God gave Noah specific instructions on how to build the ark. He told him to put a door in the side of the ark. And so whoever entered that door would be saved from God's judgment. Well, when Jesus walked this earth, he said, "I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Now, he was actually speaking about the door of a sheep pen, or the gate of a sheep pen. And Jesus stood at the entrance of the sheep pen. And so whoever was in the sheep pen would be safe, would be protected from harm. Well, Scripture describes humanity as being like sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah goes on to say, in describing who has received our iniquities, he says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." So Jesus is the door. Jesus spoke specifically that it's only through him that we can get to the Father. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus is the door. We must enter through him if we want to escape God's judgment. Well, another messenger of God was Abraham. Now, God had blessed Abraham. In fact, he gave him a son in his old age. Isaac was born to Abraham when he was 100 years old. But God chose to test Abraham. He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering unto me." Now, Abraham was obedient to the Lord. And he took his son Isaac to the mountain. He put him on the altar. And with his arm raised and a knife in his hand, was about to plunge it into his son when God stopped him. And Abraham turned and he saw a ram caught by its horns. He took the ram and he offered it instead of his son. Now, before Abraham left the mountain, he gave it a name. He named the mountain, "The Lord Will Provide." Because you see, Abraham was looking ahead to a future sacrifice that the Lord was going to provide for mankind. Well, that future sacrifice came during the time of John the Baptist. John was speaking to his disciples one day, and he saw Jesus in the distance, and he pointed him out to his disciples and said to them, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was the fulfillment of what Abraham saw from so many years before. He was the Lamb that God provided for our sins, to take the place of us and die in our place for our sins as our sacrifice. Well, one final messenger we're going to look at is Elias. Now, Elias is the Arabic name for Elijah. And in Senegal, my name is Elias. And I've chosen the name Elias because of what the Lord says in Malachi 4:5 about Elijah. He describes Elijah as my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And you see, that is my role in Senegal. I'm preparing the way of the Lord in Senegal. And so that's why my name is Elias. Well, let's go back to our text in Luke 10, continuing in verse 5. When you enter a house, first say, "Peace to this house." If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Now, Jesus told these messengers that he was sending, he told them to prioritize their ministry. They were to look for the men of peace. Well, I'd like us to look at some examples of men of peace in Scripture. And for that, we're going to turn over to Acts 16. And the first man of peace we're going to look at is not a man. It's actually a woman named Lydia. Paul and his companion Silas met Lydia while they were in Philippi on their second missionary journey. And let's look at Acts 16, beginning in verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. You see what happened with Lydia. It says that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Now, that's really the only way a person will come to faith, is if the Lord opens the person's heart. But you notice that she didn't let the gospel stop with her. She brought it to her family, and they also believed. Well, let's look across the page at another example of a man of peace. And this was when Paul and Silas were put in prison in Philippi because they had delivered a woman from demon possession. Well, during the night, there was an earthquake, and the prison doors blew open. And the jailer came in, and he thought the prisoners had escaped, and since he was accountable for those prisoners, he thought his life was in jeopardy. So he was about to take his own life when Paul said to him, "No, no, no, we're all here." And then this is what the jailer did. We're looking at verse 30. It says, "He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately, he and all his family were baptized. So we see something similar with the jailer, is that the jailer received the message himself, but then he brought the message to his family, and they also believed and were baptized. Well, let's look at one more example of a man of peace in Acts 18, verse 8. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. Now, with Crispus, we see something additional. Not only did he expose his family to the gospel, but he also brought the gospel to the people of his community, and they also believed. And so a man of peace is one who will spread the gospel to his family, but also to the people of the community. Now, we'll be sharing in the Sunday School Hour about a man that I met this last term, who is a possible man of peace, who acts like these men of peace that I've just described in Scripture. And so if you come to Sunday school, you'll hear more about this potential man of peace that we have met. Well, I'd like us to continue now back in Luke 10. And let's continue in our text, verse 8. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. Now, the final point we see is that when sufficient opportunity is given to hear and understand the gospel, the hearer is accountable for what he has heard. Rejection makes him liable to judgment. So Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he told them that they should shake the dust off their feet against the people of the town who did not receive them. Now, we see some examples of this in Scripture. I'm turning over to Acts 13, verse 50, where this actually took place. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And there's another example in Acts 18, verse 6. There. We read, but when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. So this practice of shaking the dust off your feet against people who reject the message is something Jesus was advocating here. But you need to be aware of who Jesus was sending his disciples to. In Matthew 10, we have a parallel passage where Jesus is sending his 12 disciples on a very similar mission. But in Matthew 10, it says he was sending his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus was sending his disciples to people who had heard the message for hundreds of years. And many of them had rejected the message. But Jesus was still sending his disciples to these very same people. So this is telling me that we should not be so quick to give up on people that we may have shared the gospel with maybe time and time again. Maybe it's with a family member, with a friend, with a co-worker, and that we've shared the gospel with them that they have not received the message. Well, I want to encourage you to continue and persevere in your witness to that person. I like to ask this question. Did you respond to the gospel the first time you heard it? Now, if you were to ask me that question, I'd have to say no. I was brought up in a Christian home, but it wasn't until I was 15, after having heard the gospel for time and time again, that I put my trust in Christ. So I would like to give the Senegalese at least as much of an opportunity to hear and believe the message as I had myself. And so I'd just like to encourage you in your own personal witness that you not give up too soon on those that you have been sharing with. Well, we'd like to share an illustration by way of a mime that, as I said, shows who are the participants in missions. And what I'd like you to do is to look to see where your place is in missions through this mime that we'll be presenting to you today. Okay, so let me move this.
It's the name above all names, and we will declare it, we will declare it. It's the name above all names, and we will shout it to a dying world. Who will declare my name? Who will shout my name in the middle of the nations? Who will take the shield of faith and the sword of my tongue and declare my name to a dying world? He who has declared will walk in even greater power, for the sands of time are running out, but my name will be declared in this final. lost my people. I'll take every inch that you'll surrender to me. For I'm building an army, and I've given it my name, and my words in your mouths will set the captives.
I hope you got to see yourself in that mime. I hope it leaves an impression on you as to the important role that you have in the missions effort. I'd like us to close in a word of prayer, and then we're going to be dismissed to go downstairs for the refreshments and the Sunday school hour. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this special day that we can meet together. Thank you that we can look at what you are doing around the world. We know that you are active in this world and that you are calling out a people unto yourself. We want to be faithful to the role that you have given to each one of us in being part of your work around this world. And so continue to bless our time in the Sunday school hour, and that this will be an encouragement for each one. And so we commit this day into your hands, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.